Good morning. Welcome to the Warren County Board of Supervisors meeting, December 11th, 2018. Is there any changes to the agenda?
I have none.
Meet with the department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, the county auditor.
Good morning. Today is the Danville School special election. The polls open at 7:00, will close at 8:00. Out of, I think, I'll do it with my little note. I had a note here that I think we have 89 absentee ballots and 86 of those have been returned so far. So we've got a good turnout on that. And hopefully everybody goes and votes. And the other thing is, 2 weeks ago, this coming Thursday, we had an ISACA fall conference and we were talking about the combined city and school elections, which opened up a whole nother can of worms because, and the infinite wisdom of the legislators when they combined them, they didn't change the canvas dates. So that means we have, I'm glad we don't have a runoff elections for any of our cities because the school canvas, they didn't change that, so that's still Thursday after the election. The Friday after the election, because the runoff cities have their canvas on Thursdays. And then we have the regular city election on, some counties have theirs Mondays and some have them Tuesdays. And then since now all of the school elections are within the counties, we're going to have a control county canvas the second Tuesday after the election. And then we still have the control county community college, which is the last Tuesday. So you guys are going to be full of canvases. And the issue that we have is because everybody's going to be on the same ballot, how can you cut off counting votes for a certain race when ballots are still coming in that the machines are still going to count? So we have a lot of issues with that, and evidently they didn't ask the auditors any questions about that. And so we're trying to get a hold of some of the legislators to see if they can hold off on doing all these changes by the end of 2019. Because how do you print out absentee instructions with all these different, if you want your ballot to count for the school elections, make sure it's in by this date, but if you want it to count for the city, make sure it's in by that date. So we just have a lot of questions. And then plus another thing too is they changed the polling hours because a lot of the schools would open their polls at noon, but now they require them to be open from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. and to have all of our polling locations open. So I don't know how this is going to save money for the schools and the cities. So anyway, that's the big questionable thing with all the auditors, that we have big issues.
So are they, is ISAC going to go to the legislature and say, hey, we have these?
Well, when we had our meeting, the 5th District officers, we had Jamie Cashman in there with us, and we were talking to him about a lot of that stuff. So he was taking lots of notes. I don't know if the auditors...
It shouldn't take much to fix that.
Yeah, I mean, they just need to hold off on it.
But they can close the polling hours a shade, too, for those elections.
Well, for those, they'll close at 8 o'clock. They'll be open from 7 a.m., but we had a lot of schools and small cities that only opened their polls open at noon.
Sure.
And now they're going to have somebody there from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., which is going to cost them a lot more. And just like several years ago, we combined a lot of the city of Burlington polling locations because you had workers sitting there for 12 hours, 13 hours.
I heard one poll taker talk and said, two people show up from 7 to 8.
Yeah. And the thing is even with the school districts, since they stop at county lines, we have a little bit of Winfield, Mount Union, Morning Sun, New London, and some of those areas that are in Des Moines County might only have two registered voters. So if that school district has a special election, you know, are we going to be able to have vote centers back over in the control county so that we don't have to open one up for two voters?
For 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's just a lot of issues with their great infinite wisdom of combining elections. So
I gotta tell you, I've been accused of being full of a lot of things, but never full of cameras.
Well, if they don't change anything, you're gonna be full of them by November.
Interesting.
Wow, that's almost more than we needed to know.
I can give you the handouts that we had too.
Amy, county attorney.
Good morning, we're busy, we have a jury trial going today. Got jury trials next week as well, we had a trial team meeting this morning. So we're just busy, I'm winding down my term and finishing things out the best I can. Hopefully, setting up the next county attorney, Ms. Schaefer, in a good position when she takes over after the first of the year.
Good.
Yep.
And I heard over the radio that you accepted another position?
Yes.
Congratulations on that too.
Thank you, I'm excited about it, so, yeah, ready to move on, so thank you.
Thank you. Janelle, how's the county treasurer's office?
Good morning, keeping busy like everyone else, I really don't have anything new to report.
Okay, thank you. Krista, how's the health department?
Good morning, we're doing good. We're also keeping busy, we're still getting flu shots and doing our weekly clinics, but we have.
Brett, how's the sheriff's department?
Sheriff's office is good, working on some promotionals and some hiring procedures but we've been busy here the last few weeks with Jeff leaving, so we're getting prepared for that too, so, but everybody's doing good.
That's great.
Yeah.
How's our, not new yet, but how's our new county attorney doing, thank you?
I'm doing well, finished my last hearing last week, so other than winding up a couple of divorce cases, custody cases, my private practice, I'm just closing out files and getting ready to be done next week. Met with a couple of the heads of law enforcement over the last couple weeks to kind of get to know you, see what, some things we can work on together. That's been pretty productive. Met with Chief Kramer from the police department and Sheriff Johnstone and Deputy Glendenning and Deputy Grimshaw to just discuss things and where, how to open up some communication and some projects that we'd like to work on together, so.
Okay, thank you. Kevin, do you have anything to add to Brett?
No, I think Brett covered it well.
You did, okay. That's what I'd have said too if I'd have been sitting there. Ken, how's the mental health department?
Good morning, doing well. Lately, I'd just like to thank Colin in IT. He's helping me, ever since our department, since I got here, we've had six voice telephone lines and two fax lines, and we're trying to reduce that down about in half and use more technology now that we've got fiber optic and everything in our office now. So we got a plan to reduce some phone lines, and that'll save some money over time. So.
Good. That means when somebody calls in, they say push plan B?
We already have the voicemail and everything. It's just a matter of letting the technology do more, so.
Yeah. Colin, how's the IT department going? Sounds like it's doing pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad. Staying busy like always, but nothing real new to report, so.
Cheryl, do you have anything to add to the auditor's office?
I would also like to thank the IT department. They've been working very hard on getting Tyler version 10 set up on different department head and key personnel's workstations. So they've been helping out a lot. We're getting people set up that have volunteered to use a new system this year on the budget. So thanks, Colin.
I'd like to go back to IT. And your disclaimer you put on all of our notes, all of our email, I read that and I don't know what the message is, so I have to open it up in order to see.
Oh, you mean like your little preview email thing?
So I may be opening up something that probably shouldn't be opened because of your disclaimer.
We can move the disclaimer to somewhere else in the email. We just put it on the header, so that's kind of the first thing you see when you open the email. You have different options, but I don't have to take a look at that.
I don't know if anybody else had that problem or not.
Reviewing the message, that'll be malicious?
Not necessarily malicious, but a lot of people have auto reads set up for email. So if Somebody sends you an email, just wants to see if you have a valid email, to see if you read that message, they can see that. But clicking on links and other things in the email is really the malicious problem part of the email, so. But I'll take a look at that.
You can set your filters tighter too, for my sake.
Chris Lee, how's conservation going?
Good. We got a press release came out from the DNR. I guess there's a fatal hunting accident in, I believe, Monroe County here over the weekend. And so it's just a stark reminder. It is deer season. You know, folks, just be careful out there. You know, deer season, pretty popular season, a lot of people running around. I don't know the details of what happened. It was a young guy, I think maybe 19, that got killed. Very young person. But so just, you know, on behalf of the conservation department, we remind, you know, everybody, hunters and non-hunters as well, especially if you're out on public ground, you know, be safe out there. And then with the weather being as fluctuating as it is, you know, we don't have sufficient ice yet to be out on the waters, but it'd just be a matter of time before we're going to start seeing some city ice. I noticed out of Henry Boland's borrow pit there, there's already geese sitting on the ice. And so, again, just be cognizant of that. You know, I mean, winter sports and winter outdoor recreation is great, but a lot of safety issues that come along with that. So we would just remind folks of that. Other than that, we're just kind of keeping on.
Do you have any campers go out there, even though you have no facilities over the weekend?
No, we haven't seen any campers here lately. No.
Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Not a whole lot, a couple agenda items. I'm covering the weed commissioner stuff too, although I think it's self-explanatory. Other than that, guys are doing some tree cutting. And if the temperature warms up and actually takes a little bit of the frost out of the surface, we might try to do some blading, but there's actually quite a bit more frost in the roads than you realize. I was on one this weekend actually where there's 6+ inches of frost in it. So,
you know, it's kind of hard to maintain them roads when that frost in there. You live with potholes and in the country, and on a country road, you got to expect some potholes.
Well, once you freeze, it just makes it impossible. Yeah. It's you never want to freeze with potholes because there's no way to take care of them. Anyway, it is what it is. If it warms up, the guys will go out and see if we can do any good. If not, then we'll just keep waiting for that window if we can get it.
Yep. So. Thank you. Zach and Jared, who's?
Yeah, things are going well.
Good.
Had a busy few weeks with some subdivisions and some building permits, or zoning permits, I guess I should say. Other than that, we've got a work session today just to go over and what we've done this past year, and then some things we've noticed and some changes that I guess we wanted to discuss. That's about it.
Okay, thank you. Did I miss anybody?
I don't think so.
Unless you want to talk to Brenda about the jail.
Very busy, lots of transports. Yesterday was the 1-year anniversary of the attack, so, and you know, the brace moved a little.
Move calm so I can see you.
But other than just busy and a lot of transports.
Keeping Doug busy? Or are you keeping him in line? That's the main thing.
We try to keep everybody in line, that's our job.
Sorry I missed you. Okay. Correspondence. Seeing none here, do you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I don't know.
Okay. Move on for our public input session number one. Anybody from the public have anything to say? Please rise, state your name and address.
Can you stand up here, do you? Yeah. My name is Doug Fenton. I live down on Skunk River Road, 16136 Skunk River Road. I'm just concerned about how the gravel road on Skunk River Road is being maintained. We have snow, and then they plow the snow up and they leave it on the side of the road so the road can fill up with water. I don't think everybody knows that here, if you got water on a road, you don't have much of a road. There's places where that road's clear down to one lane road at times, like it is right now in spots. And that's in the summertime as well with water setting on it. There's completely no crown to that road. No gravel on it. The rock that they're buying, I think it's coming from the Denmark quarry. And it's all, and it's, you put that rock on that road, and within a week later, that stuff's all pulverized and broke to nothing. Me and my wife went down to eat supper last night at Weaver. We had to drive about 20 to 25 mile an hour on that road because it's in such terrible shape.
Well, I know it's wintertime. It's hard to take care of a road in the wintertime, you know.
Well, there's preventive maintenance in the summertime that can be done to take care of a road in the wintertime, like building a crown in the road to get the water off the road. I don't know if that's a thought at all, you know.
Well, I know they've been doing a lot of pinching. That's what they call pinching the road. They've been doing a lot of that throughout the county, so, I mean, it's nothing.
But I drive on a lot of roads in the county, and they seem to have some rock and stuff on them, and I don't know why Skunk River Road has to be rocked with that crap that Denmark sells.
Well, I can't answer that, but I definitely will go down and take a look at the road myself, just so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And
then we wanted to do some work on our lane that comes off Skunk River Road to try to get some water that sets in the greater ditch away from it, from setting in our, along our driveway. And I can't remember the gentleman's name that was down there. He said if we can't impede the natural water flow. Okay. Where was the natural water flow at before Skunk River Road was built, before the county built Skunk River Road?
I don't know, you're going to have to go back several hundred years to find that out.
Yeah, so. Well, the county impeded the water travel in.
Well, I know it's a state law, you cannot impede the water flow.
Well, the county maybe needs to look in their deal there and see why they've got it all impeded down by my place.
There's no culvert or anything to allow that water to continue going where it was going?
No. Okay.
Which, Brian, can you respond to any of this?
He didn't answer that you can't impede water flow unless you were planning on doing something to impede water flow.
I wasn't planning on it.
So I don't know the whole situation, so.
Well, situation is when they built Skunk River Road, they impeded the water to come off the bluff. Is that correct? Is that a correct statement?
You know what? I'm not going there with you. You're talking about, did you own the property before that? Did you buy your property in the condition it's in? Because if you did, then you own the property with Skunk River Road there.
Right.
And that's how you purchased the property, and that's the condition it was in.
Right.
So I'm not going to get into what would happen back in the 1800s with the road when it wasn't an issue.
So when you buy property, the county gives up all legal things to it, and then they don't have to do nothing to it because I bought it knowing it was like that.
No, I don't. I don't know the situation.
Okay.
I didn't meet you down there. I mean, what were you looking to do?
Well, I want to build some dirt up along our road so it slopes back down the other way, off north of us there.
So you wanted to change the flow of water?
Well, somebody changed it to get it to dump on my property.
I can't speak to that, but I do remember having a conversation about somebody wanting to build some berms and change the flow of water, and that was when it was discussed with me. I said, well, just make sure they understand. I think most of what you wanted to do, though, was on private property. It was just the warning
right.
That there was. So if it's on private property, we don't have any say in that. It was just him making sure you understood to be careful. Because
so if I build it up so it don't set on mine, and then it goes that way, then I'm impeding it?
If you move water off of your property onto somebody else's property, then you can be held liable, yes. That's private property business, so all he did was give you a heads up. If I remember, if I'm in the right spot, everything you were talking about was on private
right
property.
Right down there by Long Creek.
But most of what you were talking about doing was kicking water off of yours and onto the neighboring field.
It's a ditch between the Skunk River Road and the bluff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't remember very well. I just remember the subject, and all I said was, well, that's private property, but just remind him that's something he's got to watch out for. But that's nothing we have any say in.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm just concerned about how that, you know, I don't know why we don't utilize the grader ditches and push the snow off the roads so the, all the water does not set on the road.
Well, the trouble of it is when they're grading the snow off the road, if they push that off the road, they're pushing all the gravel off too to get that road clear. We don't want the gravel in the road ditch.
Right.
It costs several hundred thousand dollars over the years.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And
but they do make, like I own a snow plow, and they do make like feet on a snow plow so you don't get down too far into the rock.
That's not realistic with motor graders trying to cover different crowns of road and different roads for about 450 miles of road. We don't. The last snow actually was a situation where we had more water pooling along the side of the road than normal because it was 10 inches of wet snow that
there's a lot of water
turned around and froze. And then you turned around and we got rain immediately following. And it took us 3 days just to cover the roads as it was. So it was an undesirable dynamic no matter which side of the equation you were on. And there were roads where it was basically one lane. And guys went around, tried to notch, but there was almost no time. We went from a blizzard to freezing rain to a weekend of drizzle and rain. I mean, it just was back to back to back to back to back. There was really no chance to try to mitigate the next upcoming weather because we were going to use Friday to do that. And next thing we knew, we got freezing rain, and we had people all over the county hollering about that. That snowpack froze up.
Yeah.
And so then we had to send guys and try to scratch on that. Well,
right.
Then by the afternoon it was 40 degrees and then
right.
It started raining. So there wasn't a lot of winning in the last go around. And then of course now with that big warm up, now we're sitting with the potholes.
Right.
And then it turned around and froze hard.
Well, Bart, it gets to be a safety issue. When you can't drive down that road at 20 mile an hour without your vehicle taking off and sliding on this stuff.
That is the nature of living on a county gravel road. It is not a safety issue if you drive appropriately. And I stand by that 100%. I can't guarantee people pothole-free gravel roads. I would love to because that would make life 1,000 times better. But that's unfortunately the nature of it. And we will shape it up. I mean, you're talking about potholes following kind of a 7-day nightmare weather stretch. I mean, and so the guys will get it shaped up, and as soon as the conditions are allowed. The problem for us is it's mid-December, and you never know when or if you're going to get the kind of conditions that you can actually blade up potholes and stuff like that. I can guarantee you, we would prefer not to have them. And I want to mention too, you went back to the crown and stuff, and I mentioned to you on the phone, we are intending that Skunk River Road is one of the roads we're going to start our pinching process on next summer.
Okay.
It's roughly, we got kind of 4 miles targeted. We won't get those all done in 1 year.
Okay.
We'd love to get about 2 miles done next year.
Okay.
Skunk River Road is way too wide, and that comes from probably 30 years ago. The blade guy had an itch for just kind of rolling everything off the edge instead of, and so it just kept getting wider and wider and wider, and then it gets flatter and flatter and flatter. And so hopefully we can narrow that up a little bit and then bring that material in and crown it a little bit and get some crown and some reduction in width to it. So you're going to see some progress this summer on that front. And when we do that, we bring all that material in, we get as much crown as we can get out of it. And then we lay about 1,000 tons of rock a mile on top of that to get a base built back in there. And I'd say about 98% of the time, it drastically improves that roadway.
Yeah.
So you're going to see that coming.
I'm not only concerned about in the winter time. I'm concerned about in the middle of summer when it rains, the road just holding water in several spots up and down that road.
That's what that'll do because when they're pulling the shoulders in, they also cut the edges.
Okay.
So you take that material off so it doesn't hold anymore. And then it comes into the center. So it kind of you subtract it from your problem area and then you add it to your other problem areas. So you build crown and you get rid of those edges.
Okay.
That's what we do. So the material out kind of into the ditch and into that four slope and right in that shoulder area, that'll get all rounded off. But instead of rolling that out or hauling it off, it'll actually come into the middle of the road and build up and build crown into it. So that's actually how we do those projects. So that'll certainly help that. You know, Skunk's better than it used to be. It used to have worse curbs than it did. The blade guy we have down there now is a lot more aggressive of doing what he can, but it's just tremendously wide for a gravel road. Just way too wide. And that's part of the problem with it.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard to keep a true cross slope on a gravel road when it's as wide as that road is. We fight that elsewhere too. Irish Ridge is another road that's really a wide gravel road. And, you know, you get your wheel ruts, you get your tire tracks, even in the middle of summer when it's hard as a rock, where the traffic wants to drive, they kind of wallow it out a little bit right there. So it's hard for that water to get off the road when it's got to go that far. Yeah. Hopefully we can get that crown built back up and address some of the problems you're worried about.
Okay.
So, and you'll see that coming. That's typically we'd love it to be summer, but it might be closer to fall. I mean, that's just by the time we shake everything out, that's about when we get places. But that we actually, it's kind of ironic timing. Just 2 days ago, the superintendent and I just talked about this exact location. So we're going to concentrate east of Augusta first. So those are probably the next 2 years will be our priority.
So, east of Augusta, that's towards 61 then?
Yes.
Cool.
So probably try to do a couple miles the first year and then maybe try to do a couple miles the following year.
All right.
So.
Does the county have a policy on dogs that you don't want on your property?
We do. Addresses vicious dogs mostly. I'm sure you can get a copy of that if you want at the auditor's office.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I was informed by the sheriff, it's been several years ago, that if you don't want a dog on your property, you can shoot it. That's what he told me to do.
It's been long enough since we discussed it. I'm not touching. any legal opinion.
If you leave here, you can turn to your left, go down here to the auditor's office and ask for a copy of that.
But I had a guy, he had a bunch of dogs running loose down there. He lives down the road from me. And they come down, and I have some tame geese and ducks, and well, they killed some of them. Mm. And I told him he needs to come get his dogs. And so I called the sheriff. He goes, if you don't want them on your property, you go shoot them. So I shot them. And this fellow laughed at me when I called him, told him they were coming down on my property and killing my animals. You know?
They were killing your animals.
Yeah. And then another thing, when you're up there hunting, a dog runs through the timber up there when you're up there hunting. So.
Yeah, just stop down there and they'll give you a copy of it. Thank you, Mr.
It's also addressed in the Iowa code. Yeah. But I can't give you the number. I'll have to do some research.
I just decided to come today. I need to do more research before I come to the next meeting. So I apologize for that.
You're always welcome.
Yeah.
Always welcome, and thank you for coming and bringing it to our attention.
I just had a question for the conservation guy. What can be done about people shooting off of a road back toward my house at deer?
So you need to call the Iowa DNR, is in charge of wildlife and game enforcement. Paul K.
Okay.
You need to be calling to something like that. Have somebody shooting an unsafe.
Because there's a lot of people that drive up and down Skunk River Road. They think that's the place to shoot a deer out of their truck down there on Skunk River Road.
If somebody's doing
because
something
the illegal, unsafe, there's a lot of deer down there. Yep. You know.
And if you can't reach Paul, any law enforcement officer. If it's not a safe situation, Paul's the one that handles it.
But they stop right on Skunk River Road and shoot back across the field. My house is back there. I can't see the road, but I heard shooting from the road first season. So, and I've actually seen where they've shot deer and drug them out of my field because there's a blood trail right up to the road and they're throwing in their pickup and taking off. Which is, you know, if they get out of their vehicle and stuff, it's legal. Anyway, I just wanted to know.
If you see that, you need to call the sheriff's office too.
Okay.
Okay. All right. By the way, don't wait. Call us immediately.
Okay. So if they shoot at me, my house across the road, can I shoot back at them?
I wouldn't advise that. I don't think. That would be a good idea. I would just call us and let us sort.
Can't lay my 50 cal out across the deck.
No, I would not do that. I would call us.
I felt like it sometimes.
I know.
You hear them slugs whiz. You ever heard a deer slug go by you?
I have.
It's not a good sound.
No, it's not.
No. Makes things run down your leg.
Okay, moving on to discussion vote. Need a motion to go into public hearing for the approval of the FY19 budget amendment.
Motion open. Public hearing.
Second.
Carry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Okay, we had two letters come in requesting budget amendments. Secondary Roads is requesting $93,000 increase in roadway construction. That's due to some pavement rehabilitation work. And they're asking for $182,000 in their road budget. $70,000 of that is due to the quarry crushing schedule. $12,000 is for salt. $45,000 is due to them not trading in a motor grader. They sold it outright instead, so that changed this scenario of that. And $55,000 is for a pickup that they purchased that they weren't planning on doing this year. There's also $42,000 in revenue due to the sale of the motor grader instead of it being traded in. And the recorder is asking for $9,000 for scanning the remaining aperture cards. That's out of the record management fund, so that's a standalone fund. It's not on a general basic. And there's money available in both those funds for these budget amendments. So.
Okay, public comments on it? Move to close the hearing.
Second.
Carry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Move to approve the amendment.
Second.
Carry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Second.
Terry Johnson.
Tom Broker.
I haven't done anything over here.
Well, what are you doing?
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Terry?
Yes. See what happens when we get an agenda finally.
You didn't sign that.
He's getting to us.
You gotta watch these trees.
I didn't think you would take away.
Now, don't know where I'm at. Okay, we need approval for the, professional engineering for Des Moines County Bridge. That's the YS-19, that's a 144-370. Mr. Carter, you wanna address any of this?
These are two bridges on Mediapolis Road. They're in our construction program, have been for a while, and this is just getting engineering started on them. Preliminary engineering.
Motion to approve both of those. Do the same thing.
Second.
Terry Johnson.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We sign these there afterwards.
Work.
Okay, we have abatement of taxes for the city of Burlington. This is what you said?
No, the city of Burlington.
What's that?
The city of Burlington.
It pertains to properties of 1431 Ganon, 503 Holstein, Parsham on Bluff Road, South Main Street, 239 South 7th, 232 South 6th Street, 232 South 6th Street Parsham, 517 Pine Street, Lewis Street, and 1337 Ashton Street. I think the total of the abatement is $3,056.
Move to approve.
That point.
Second. I think it used to be a lot higher until the Burlington took off their nuisance,
yes.
Nuisance taxes.
On one of those at least, yeah. Yeah.
Third.
The Ashton.
Third.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah. Southeast Iron Regional Planning Board of Directors, Representative. It says, whereas the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors has recommended Robert W. Beck to serve on the Southeast Iron Regional Planning Board of Directors, and whereas the Southeast Iowa Board of Directors has reviewed the Des Moines County membership status and is in good standing. I didn't check. Be it resolved that Robert W. Beck hereby appointed to 1-year term to the Southeast Iowa Board of Directors, which term will expire January 1, 2020.
I couldn't support a proposal more. Motion to approve the resolution.
I want to second that one.
Okay, Tom Broker?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
And then you guys still have to, I think, do their recommendation for the private.
We are not there yet.
Okay. Well, no, that's not on.
Yeah, that doesn't have to be done until.
Yeah, I think they got to find
we'll
somebody new.
We've got a candidate.
I think so, yeah.
We have a candidate to go propose it to, and we've run it by two of us, not the third one.
Now we're moving on to appointments of the township clerks and trustees. Terry, do you want to do all these ones?
Yeah, you can do them all.
Do them all once, okay.
They've all agreed to it there.
Yes.
Some of them are due to it.
Yeah.
Unless you just want to read down the list.
The list here. Yeah, we have.
Each form.
Oh.
You'd have to go through.
Yeah, each form.
You want me to read them all?
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Because I got them right here. We got Danville Township Clerk, Helen Miltenberger, Danville Township Trustee, Matt Garrett, Flint River Township Trustee, Eric Merle, Franklin Township Clerk, Van Eberhardt, Tama Township Clerk, Randall Flum, Tama Township Trustee, Chris Rhodes, Yellow Springs Clerk, Bradley Lane, and Yellow Springs Township Trustee, Ross Copeland.
Motion to approve.
Second. Terry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
And we still have a few openings left, so hopefully I get those soon.
We will stamp these after the meeting here. Okay, Sheriff's Department, we have two personnel actions.
Read these carefully.
The first one is for Jeffrey White, retirement, effective date 12/26/2018.
I think that one should stand alone. I'd like to discuss that a little bit.
He's not here to appreciate it.
You know, he's going to be missed in the department.
He will be missed.
But this next one we got is going to be a real good replacement. Brett Grimshaw, title lieutenant, promotion to chief deputy. Previous rate $67,825.93. The new rate is $76,190.11.
Holy mackerel.
Motion to approve both and wish them both the best of luck in their new careers.
Yeah.
New positions.
Jeff was a good 30-year employee for the county, and I think he's finally got his head wrapped around retiring. And we wish him well there at the sheriff's office. So I think his last day might be tomorrow.
You're taking his key away from him?
So not yet, I haven't. But if you see him, give him a pat on the back and wish him the best of luck.
Well, is he armed?
What's that?
Is he armed yet?
He will be for another couple of days.
Maybe. I'll pat him on the back after that. Second.
Terry?
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Reluctantly, yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Congratulations, Brett.
Thank you.
I know.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, was you reluctant for Jeff or me?
He didn't make that very clear. You fit where?
We have reports for the recorder's office, general assistance, and the Veterans Affair. Denise reports to be on the file in the auditor's office, reviewing at your convenience.
Any
other business?
I got a new scan. scam call I'd never heard before late yesterday afternoon. Said it was the Social Security Administration, and that my Social Security number had been suspended, and it will be shortly canceled along with all my Social Security access unless I get back to these people immediately. I suspect the first question will be, what's your Social Security number?
Yeah.
we can check you. I this is new to me, and I hadn't heard anything about that being out there, so I thought that people should be aware there's always somebody that'll...
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
I have. And just understand that they will be very aggressive. I mean, they will threaten to come arrest you on the spot. We'll be there now. This is going to happen. And they will be aggressive. And some people that you wouldn't expect it will fall for it because of the level of aggression. So don't fall for it. Call us. We can handle it. But
yeah, I had a...
You didn't fall for it, did you?
Well, the guy's waiting at the house. I thought it was... he's going through my tax return. But I told him not to bother the dog, and I'd be right.
On one of the scams, I had a federal agent that is from this area. He lives up in, I don't know, the Quad Cities, I think, but He was convinced that one of our deputies was calling him because they had a warrant and he had to go pay some fines or whatever. And this was the prison.
The Georgia prison.
Yeah, the Georgia prison. They were calling people, acting, posing as law enforcement officers, trying to get money out of them. But this agent was convinced that there was a warrant for him in Des Moines County, that based on this phone call, that's how aggressive this guy was. He convinced this federal agent that there was a warrant for him. So that's how aggressive these people can be. So just hang up on them and don't talk to them.
Well, you look like an easy target, though.
Probably am.
Okay. Future agenda items. The only thing I can remember, we're not going to have a meeting between Christmas and New Year's. Committee reports.
I attended the County Safety Committee. We discussed the Iowa Department of Public Health Stop the Bleed initiative, since victims of shootings and stabbings often die from bleeding out. This initiative involves tourniquet training and equipment. I attended the Mental Health and Disability Services Commission. We passed the Chapter 25 administrative rules, the provisions, the ones that are pertaining to the complex needs legislation last year. And you were, Bob, you're going to have a meeting on next week on the 18th for the county public safety, courthouse and public safety, or public, courthouse and public security meeting at 2 p.m. here in the boardroom next 18th, so I will be hopefully attending the birth of my grandson. And I'll be here.
Good day.
So, one of you guys, I told, talked to Rodney, but I told Rodney somebody from the board would be there. That's all I've got.
I attended a regional planning meeting, and I attended a DESCOM meeting. Both very enlightening. I blew off my Conservation Department, he's left, so I brought my granddaughter down the aisle to help me get in a deep dirty room. Yeah, very good.
I didn't have any meetings outside of the one that we all went to. Went to
forgot about that.
Tumble for a legislative meeting for this district for the supervisors. Very interesting.
I should mention that I've missed the Joel Beatty dispatcher, or not Joel,
Mark
rather, Bain. Rather Mark dispatcher, and I missed it. My wife went, and I was just not very far down the hall from it, and old Mark, and so he's no longer dispatch, he's a good dispatcher. I thought,
oh, yeah.
Oh, everybody's hand. And,
sure.
They're trying to find a new dispatcher. Not easy job. Not everybody can do that job.
No.
So they've had several candidates.
I think they're in the process of
handful,
getting some people hired.
Narrowed that down to one, and I don't know if they made an offer or not.
I don't know.
No.
They haven't.
Last I heard, they had not. But
you have to be able to type so many words a minute, too, don't you? Do that, what, 40 words or something like that?
I don't know what the...
Yeah.
But yeah, you need to be able to type fast and listen and comprehend what people are saying. And
yeah.
They have to talk clear enough that people can understand them if somebody calls in, because we have it to the place where it's two dispatchers, 24/7. So if somebody calls in and has a heart attack, that dispatcher can stay with that person and give them instructions on how to handle it until an ambulance gets there. Well, if somebody called in, he'd have to quit that.
Yep.
And go do the other guy, take care of the other guy. Now they have two of them there, so one of them can stay with them and try to keep this guy going while they take care of the other call, which is the neighbor's house might be burning down or something.
Yeah.
But, it's a big job. Big job.
Okay, move on to public input station number two. Anybody from public have anything to say? Please rise, state your name and address. See nobody rise, we shall move to session. We are adjourned. Thank you.